morning and welcome to City Beat. Today we are brought to you by the City of Maysville. Drew Spangler joining you this morning along with Heather Wheeler and Alexa Kohlmeyer with the Mason County Public Library. And always a pleasure to have you two in the studio.
Oh, absolutely. I love being here. You know that.
Hello.
Let's go over April, Heather, for the programs. You had some new programs.
We did. April was awesome, as usual. Definitely getting that spring feel in the library, so we're loving that. Doing a few more outside. Leaf Friends is heading outside, at least for a good 40 minutes now in their program, so that is a ton of fun. So just really trying to amp it up, getting ready for that summer reading.
Yeah, if you want to go over summer reading, of course, warmer weather, and you have some projects going on outside, too.
Always. We don't stop. Summer reading this year is an absolute massive kickoff. We're super excited. We're getting the Newport Aquarium. The Way Foundation is coming again, and they're bringing the Stingray card. So super excited about that. One note, I do want y'all to listen really closely before you're going to hop on that website. You're going to have to give us a call because the Newport did limit our numbers this year. So hop on that website, register for the parent and the child or the guardian and the child for me, please. And that way everybody can get in to see it. But they did limit our numbers this year, so we want to make sure everybody gets there. So get registered because it's going to be so fun.
Of course, there's been some construction going on behind the library. If you want to give an update about that, Alexa.
So yeah, the picnic shelter is coming along great. We should be getting a roof sometime this week on it. It looks gorgeous, and we can't wait to open it up to the community and have people enjoying it.
And speaking of construction behind the library, there's some big plans going on. You brought a room full of guests in the studio with you today. So if you want to introduce our guests here.
Oh my gosh. Okay, we did. And it's super exciting because some people I'm sure have heard a little bit about it and some haven't. So we have got Team Kentucky Energy and Department Cabinet Division of Water.
Dr. Brian Storrs.
And we have U of L Mastermind.
Dr. Tyler Mahoney.
And we are super excited. They brought their team.
Let's go back with the history of the research of the project. Where did it all start, and how do you all begin your process of construction and research?
Okay, my name is Dr. Brian Storrs, and I am the Licking River Basin Coordinator with Kentucky Division of Water. And that means I'm actually the liaison between communities in the Licking Basin and the state. And so we have a basin coordinator for all seven of the basins across the state of Kentucky that do similar job to myself. We get called by communities that anything that have to do with flood mitigation, water quality issues, outdoor recreation, anything really has to do with their local waterways. And then we come in and work with the community as kind of a liaison between the state to find experts and funding and stuff to help them accomplish those projects. And probably about 6 months ago, we got a call from the Mason County Public Library, who's sitting here at the table today, and they said, we're having issues with flooding with Limestone Creek. Can you please help us with that? And so we brought our team out. We looked at the situation with Limestone Creek back there and started talking about various ways that we can mitigate and reduce that flooding that's going on. And we decided to use these things called green sinks, which are basically basins that we're going to build adjacent to Limestone Creek upstream from the library. So when the water comes up, instead of flowing into the back of the library, it's going to flow into these giant basins. On pieces of property that, you know, people don't really want because they flood already. They become very valuable assets to the community, City of Maysville and Division of Water for helping the flooding issue for the library. But as many of you have noticed out there that have lived in Maysville for a long time, is one of the biggest reasons that they have the flooding behind the library is because of all the sediment buildup behind the library. And so that used to be a big open basin back there that was used for flood mitigation. And over the years, you see it fill in with more and more and more sediment. And then there's a big question that's come up. Where is that sediment coming from? Is it coming from the Ohio River backing up into that area and dumping that sediment? Or is it coming from erosion of Limestone Creek itself? And so that's a major question that's really going to drive everything that we do for flood mitigation, for doing a restoration effort and trying to restore Limestone Creek so people can actually kayak and paddleboard in it. That question is the most important question for setting up all future endeavors with Limestone Creek. And that's why we brought in University of Louisville's Dr. Tyler Mahoney, who is the expert on answering that question. And he's going to talk a little bit about how he's going to answer that.
Yeah, well said, Brian. Thank you very much. This is a fascinating project. One of the things that I focus on in my research is trying to discern the source of non-point source pollutants, right? So sediment in Kentucky is one of the number one causes of water quality degradation. It's also a non-point source pollutant, which means we don't know exactly where it comes from, right? So in this particular area behind the library, really, sediment can be transported via two different pathways, which is, it's kind of a unique confluence of two different water bodies. So you have Limestone Creek that flows into the Ohio River, but the Ohio River can actually cause the flow to reverse in Limestone Creek. So that flow can carry pollutants with it, such as sediment. And, really what we're trying to answer is, where is the sediment coming from? Is it coming from the Ohio River? Is it coming from Limestone Creek? If it's coming from Limestone Creek, then perhaps there's a little bit more that we can do in terms of best management practices to remediate the sedimentation issue. So the way that we do this is through a process. It's very similar to, like forensics. I was telling some students earlier today that this is kind of similar to, if you ever watch CSI or any of the other crime shows, what they're always looking at is, whose fingerprint is tied to the crime, right? And so we actually apply a process here called sediment fingerprinting, where we capture the sediment and then we take it back to our lab and we look at the fingerprint of that sediment. So we see, what is it that makes that sediment up? What makes it unique? So is it some type of element in that sediment? Is it some type of organic material? Is it some type of metal? And so, for example, the sediment that deposits behind the library, we can look at the fingerprint of that sediment, so the biological, chemical characteristics of that sediment, and then say, does this sediment look more like Ohio River sediment, or does it look more like sediment that comes from Limestone Creek? And so we have some statistical models that we can then apply to, get at an actual percentage. So we'll take some samples from behind the library and say, after we do this study, that, maybe 70% of the sediment is coming from location X and 30% is coming from location Y throughout the year. That information can help us, right? Because it can help us inform where we should put our best management practices, which types of best management practices like green sinks or, bank restoration or stream restoration would be most effective, that kind of thing. So this will take about a year or so for us to get at, what are the different sources of the sediment. Really, when we think about hydrology and hydrologic processes, these types of processes, they operate over multiple time scales, right? So a couple of weeks ago, you all had a really big storm that came through, right? There was a big flood out in the Ohio River, but then also there was about 2 inches of water that fell on the Limestone Creek watershed. So these really big storms, they are, causing the sediment to transport. But, over the course of the season, right, you have different types of storms and storms that will come in with different patterns that can cause erosion to occur in different locations. And so really, we want to be able to capture that seasonality. So we're trying to capture the characteristics of these sediments from their sources across the year, because, those sources might change a little bit over time. So that's the long and short of it. The idea, again, is just that we're trying to identify the characteristics of the sediment from Limestone Creek, from the Ohio River, and see, the sediment that deposits behind the library, which source does that sediment look more similar to?
Of course, you all are experts in this field and saying a lot of words that I don't understand, so I'll have to go back and research those. But is this kind of a unique situation, or have you seen this kind of project before?
So the process of sediment fingerprinting itself is kind of on this precipice of research and common consulting practice. You're seeing it a little bit more. For example, the U.S. Geological Survey will do a little bit of sediment fingerprinting, but still, it's kind of an emerging field. So it's great that Maysville is interested in all of this, and that the Division of Water is interested in seeing what this method can tell us, because I think it can be quite powerful.
And then just to add on to that, too, this kind of sediment buildup that we're seeing, this is actually kind of a similar situation to a lot of communities that live along the Ohio, where they have Army Corps gates that have to close. Now, it's also that the fact that Limestone Creek has the infrastructure, the culverts that go under the roadways here, the age of that system is really contributing to the sediment buildup. Versus in Louisville, they have actually redesigned, rebuilt the infrastructure. They have different Army Corps gates where they actually have free-flowing creeks that go all the way down, descend through the watershed and right out in the Ohio. And then they have newly kind of redesigned Army Corps gates and stuff that open actually from the bottom and the top where they can adjust the levels of the water that's flowing out. So they've got a more natural free flow, and it's because of the infrastructure for Limestone Creek is fairly aged, and it's creating these basins where the sediment is being held back and stuff and not flowing. And then also there needs to be some best management practices that are upstream to reduce the erosion if that's where the sediment's coming from, or there needs to be best management practices at where the Ohio River meets Limestone Creek, so we don't have sediment coming in that way. But yeah, we've seen it in Augusta, Kentucky. We're seeing it in Vanceburg. We're seeing it in places in Louisville and stuff, which is the Army Corps and other people that have done the sedimentation studies, they have addressed this in Louisville, so we know it can be addressed. And our goal is really to have Limestone Creek being a free-flowing creek again, having the community to be able to enjoy this, having walking trails along it, being able to stand a paddleboard or kayak along Limestone Creek. And we're really hoping the library will be the hub of this outdoor recreation for Limestone Creek. And we really envision one day that you can take your Mason County Public Library card, you can go to the back behind the library, you could swipe it through a kiosk, open up a locker, and pull out a kayak and a paddle and a life jacket, and then go kayaking for the day, and then you put it all back in the locker system, and then it's all driven by your library card. Because what we see is the library here is really wanting to be kind of, it's one of its roles in the community is being a facility for outdoor recreation, hence the pickleball and the outdoor facilities back there. But this is a great way for them to kind of continue that process, is being an outdoor recreation is actually really taking more full advantage of Limestone Creek. But we got to know what the water quality is. We have to improve the water quality. We have to get back to a free floating state. And we have to figure out where the sediment is coming from before we can do any of those processes.
As long as I've been alive and I can remember, it's always flooded back there. And how long does it take sediment to build up to where if something floods like that? Is it, 40 years? How long does it take?
Well, so we just gave a presentation to the Mason County High School students at the library today. And what's really nice is you can go to Google Earth and you can look at the images and you can zoom in on Limestone Creek. And what you see is in 2003, you see, fairly large ponds because it was dredged out at one point into two ponds. And then you see in 2004, you see a little spot of dirt of sediment buildup in there. And then from there, you see from there to 2010, you see an entire peninsula island that's formed with trees and shrubs and stuff and growing. So we're talking easy 10 in just less than 10 years and stuff, you can see an entire island emerge. So that's how much sediment is getting into that basin that quick. In less than 10 years, you see that much. And anybody could do this. You guys can go on Google Earth right now and look at Limestone Creek right behind the library. Do this whole exercise yourself. Start in 1995 because they have historical images, and you can start scrolling through and looking through. Alice Mant did this in our office, and she put together all these images together, and we were just astounded at how fast the sediment builds up in that basin.
A big area behind the library as well. After construction's completed, obviously it falls on Alexa and Heather to get some ideas going for, where we can use the area behind the library. But looking further down the timeline, is this something that's going to be a permanent fix after construction's completed?
Well, so that's one of the things that we've figured out is that area behind directly behind Limestone Creek, like we would like to build a wetland back there with a hiking trail around it, like make it a kind of an outdoor education area for the library and the school systems. But one of the things we've realized is because the way that culvert at the road is designed, it has a lip that comes up higher than the creek level. So every time you have water moving through there, it stops the sediment and drops it right there in that basin. So really, it doesn't matter what we do back there. We could build a wetland. We could do whatever we wanted for flood mitigation. But until we change that culvert system, we're going to have sediment just depositing and filling whatever we need to do. So we're looking at behind the library as for a future project. But now what we're doing is looking more kind of upstream from the library for properties for flood mitigation to catch the stormwater before it even makes it to the library, to that area, because we know we need to fix that infrastructure there with the culvert and the road to really reduce the sediment buildup right directly behind the library. So that means we're now looking upstream for places to do flood mitigation. And the flood mitigation is a really simple process. Everybody in this community knows of properties that flood regularly along Limestone Creek that don't, they're flood prone properties. People don't really have a lot of interest. Well, if we dig them out and make a very, very large basin in those areas, and we cut a channel from Limestone Creek perfectly sized, so when the water starts to come up behind the library, as soon as it hits that back sidewalk, instead it starts spilling into a basin that's upstream, all that water that would build up behind the library instead is going to pour into a basin back there. And if we dig that basin down about 2 to 4 feet above the groundwater and put in a permeable bottom, that water will flood into that basin. And then as Limestone Creek comes back down, then all that water will go through that permeable bottom into the groundwater. So you don't have to worry about standing basin. And that's the latest kind of nature-based solution for flood mitigation. So everybody in the community, if you know properties along Limestone Creek that people own and you want to get involved in this flood mitigation, we're also looking to private owners for these properties to help with flood mitigation of your community that you love and that you've seen flood over and over again. We're trying to handle that because the city only owns so many properties, but we know that the private sector owns a lot more of these properties that we could use.
Exciting and much needed. From start to finish, construction to completion, you kind of touched on this before, but if you want to go over the timeline for construction and when we can maybe start seeing stuff starting and when it's going
to
end.
Yeah, maybe I'm going to turn that over to Dr. Mahoney to talk about the timeline for his sediment study, and then I can talk about the timeline for the more construction.
Yeah, sure. As we were talking about, it probably takes, you know, about a year or so to really have a good characterization of, you know, how seasonal impacts might shift the sources. So, you know, again, what we would like to do is have as, you know, holistic of a picture as possible of what is currently happening in the system. And so, you know, giving about a year to see, you know, where is the sediment currently moving from and to is probably a good idea. So after that, you know, sometimes these studies, they go on for a long time. And as land use changes, it, you know, often will call for, you know, longer studies. We're hoping for, yeah, about a year for us to have a decent answer for everyone regarding where the sediment's coming from.
And then just to clarify, too, there's multiple projects going on. So Dr. Mahoney's sedimentation tracing study is going to feed right into the actual restoration of the flow of Limestone Creek and the change in the infrastructure and figuring out that sedimentation. The flood mitigation is a totally separate project, and that's actually underway right now. We've already secured funding to hire an engineer to do the engineering and design and look at these basins and figure out the soil consistency and how much flood mitigation we can get for these different properties. And as a matter of fact, we're doing drone flights on Friday for two more properties. So we have four properties that we're looking at for four massive basins that'll be able to mitigate. Probably worth looking at about almost 12 million gallons of water, which, you know, if you estimate, we've already done the estimates behind the library, and it takes 3 million gallons of water for the water to reach the library, base of the library. So if we can mitigate 12 million gallons of water with these basins upstream, flooding shouldn't really be a big issue unless you have a major, major rainstorm for the library anymore. So we've secured funding for that. The city, working through Buffalo Trace Area Development District, which is a wonderful that you have Buffalo Trace Area Development District here. They've already brought in funding to hire an engineer. They're trying to procure an engineer right now. That engineer will give an estimate cost for building these flood mitigation basins, and then they'll be applying for funding. And so we're hoping to actually break ground in construction probably in the next 2 years and really start getting busy with flood mitigation for the library here.
If you want to touch on your team, how you all work together with planning, you brought some team members with you today.
Sure. So once again, as basin coordinators, and I'll just give a plug for the rest of if people live in other areas, we have a basin coordinator for every major river basin in the state of Kentucky. If you're living in the Big Sandy, which is eastern Kentucky, if you live in the Upper Cumberland, which is Somerset, Pulaski, if you live in Louisville or the Salt River Basin or the Green or Four Rivers or the Kentucky River, we have a basin coordinator that does exactly my job, which is to work with communities that have flooding issues or want to develop outdoor recreation or anything to do with water quality issues. You have support there. But again, my job is when a community reaches out and says, we have this issue like flood mitigation going on, come out, meet with the community, see what they want to do with it. about the flooding issue, and so we had settled on green sink basins, which are nature-based solution for this, is to find experts in the field that do that, the expert engineers that can build these kind of things and find funding. And so knowing the sediment, where's the sediment coming from, was a major question, which then led me to looking for an expert that could answer that question, which was meeting, calling Dr. Mahoney and asking him to come in and answer this question. That's part of our job, is pulling in experts. And so we have Dr. Mahoney here. We have one of his graduate students that here that's working on the project here. And then I also have some other people, Alice Mann and Colin Duncan, who are also basin coordinators. Colin is a basin coordinator for the Green, and Alice is a basin coordinator for the Upper Cumberland. And so they're doing the same work that I do, just with our communities in other parts of Kentucky. And so they're here assisting us with this activity day that we library with the Mason County High School kids. And then I go and help them, assist them with activities in their basins. And so we all support each other in our efforts for supporting the communities.
Exciting stuff. Appreciate the update, and keep us updated. I'll be happy to have you in once you find out some more information. And
for sure. I mean, I used to be a college professor, and I can talk a lot, as my colleagues will tell you.
So, on the radio.
So like, I'll give you an unending lecture, and I'm sure Dr. Mahoney could give you an unending lecture too.
Exciting stuff, Heather, and obviously you got some exciting stuff in May as well.
As I wanted to say, summer reading kickoff May 25th at 10 a.m. Another huge day at the library is the 15th. Our edible plant class is taking a walk. We'll be out at Cummins that day at 11 a.m. I'm really excited about that. Welcome House, as always, will be in there for that third Wednesday from 1 to 3. A fun new one, Trivia Night, Pop Culture Edition for our teens. And then our adult craft is only one time of this a month, and space is limited, and we are painting a front door mat. So we have hired a local artist. She created the mats for us. So you just got to come in and make it beautiful, which we all are talented. So come on down, but hop on that website or give us a call to get registered for these events.
We had a jam-packed studio today. 8 of us crammed in here, but a lot of good information and a lot of good updates. So I appreciate everybody coming in to give an update on this project, and Heather and Alexa as well. Today's City Beat is brought to you by the City of Maysville.